From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us, beginning with the collider at CERN. Should be a great story. Here's what's happening. Well, European scientists and health officials are facing angry questions right now about why H1N1 flu has not caused death and destruction on the scale first feared. And they have to respond to ensure public support. Accusations are flying in British and French media that the pandemic that has been hyped, they say, by medical researchers to further their own cause, boost research grants, and line the pockets of drug companies. Britain's independent newspaper is claiming, the pandemic? What pandemic? France's La Parisienne newspaper ran the headline, Swine Flu, Why the French Distrust the Vaccine, and noted a gap between the predicted impact of H1N1 and the less dramatic reality. Although some 30-odd people have died, the disease is not really frightening, it said. Dangerous liaisons between certain experts, the labs and the government, the obscurity of the contracts between the state and the pharma firms have added to the doubt. In response, scientists are walking a fine line. They say that although the virus is mild, it can kill, and that the relatively low fatalities in Europe are in part the result of official response to their advice. However, in Britain, health authorities' original worst-case scenario, which said as many as 65,000 people would die from H1N1, has twice now been revised down, and the prediction is now for around 1,000 deaths, way below the average annual toll of 4,000 to 8,000 deaths from the seasonal winter flu. Just put that away. Well, if you're trying to fly today, you realize the mess this whole country was in. Why? Air travelers nationwide scrambled to revise their plans Thursday after an FAA computer glitch caused widespread cancellations and delays for the second time now in 15 months. The Federal Aviation Administration said the problem, which lasted about 4 hours, was fixed about 9 a.m., but it was unclear how long the flights would be affected. It started when a single circuit board and a piece of networking equipment at a computer center in Salt Lake City failed. The failure prevented air traffic controllers in different parts of the country from talking to each other. You don't want that to happen. Global warming appears to have stalled, and climatologists are puzzled as to why average global temperatures have stopped rising over the last 10 years. Some attribute the trend to a lack of sunspots, while others explain that it might be the ocean currents. For Citibank credit card holders, there's one way to escape the bank's rate hikes currently underway. Meet a monthly spending requirement. Those who meet the spending minimum, see, now they want you to use the card. In some cases, the minimum is $750 a month. You'll be able to get a rebate on total financing charges for that month. The rebate would cover some or all of the interest rate hike. Customers also need to make payments on time to qualify for the rebate. Only a very tiny percentage of troubled homeowners have received permanent modifications under President Obama's foreclosure prevention plan, raising concerns about the effectiveness of the $75 billion effort. Fewer than 5% of the trial modifications on loans owned or guaranteed by Freddie Mac were converted to long-term adjustments as of September 30th. A little bit later on this hour, we'll have open lines for you. Those of you who have tried to go through modification, you might want to check in with me. It has been, for many people, a disaster. They'll send in the packet. They won't get calls back. They check in. They're told they don't have enough information. They send new information. They say that it's not on file. It goes on and on and on while people get closer to foreclosure. Drinking alcohol every day cuts the risk of heart disease in men by more than a third, according to a major study. The Spanish research involving more than 15,500 men and 26,000 women found that large quantities of alcohol could even be more beneficial for men. Female drinkers did not benefit to the same extent, according to the study. A cannibalistic tribe in New Guinea, whose members used to eat the brains of dead relatives, provides an example of evolution that could help find a treatment for mad cow disease, according to scientists. Although the ritual was banned in the 1950s, the tribe has somehow undergone a rapid genetic mutation that protects against the condition that has ended this disease. And could Jupiter's moon harbor fish-sized life? In the oceans of a moon, hundreds of millions of miles from the sun, something very strange may be going on right now, maybe even fishy. Below its icy crust, Jupiter's moon Europa is believed to host a global ocean up to 100 miles deep with no land to speak of at the surface. But what is below the water? What is down deep? Richard C. Hoagland's been following this story for us, science advisor and head of the EnterpriseMission.com. Richard, when you sent me this story this week and I looked at it from National Geographic News, I couldn't put it down. It's fascinating.
Well, it's also like Yogi Berra said, deja vu all over again. Because I proposed this in 1979, George. It's in print. AP did stories all over the world. It was a feature paper in Star and Sky magazine. It's called My Europa Proposal. And everything that Greenberg, who's the scientist at the University of Arizona, proposed in this paper this week at the DPS meeting, which is the Division of Planetary Sciences, is exactly the same thing I proposed almost 30 years ago.
And this could be like real fish, the kind of fish that we can only imagine, right?
Well, you've got this situation. You've got a little moon, Europa, about the size of our moon. It's got a rocky core. It's got an icy crust. And then there is an ocean, maybe 100 miles deep, covering the entire object. In that ocean, I outlined, again, 30 years ago, that evolution could have proceeded just like it proceeded in the oceans of the Earth, because the oceans of Europa have been liquid as long as the oceans of this planet. And then you would eventually get complicated organisms, bacterial things, and ultimately evolution would go up the chain to where you get complex big beasties. And lo and behold, Greenberg is proposing that now there's enough oxygen produced on the surface of the ice by the interaction with the radiation of Jupiter, the magnetosphere of Jupiter, that then is subducted, that basically like a lava lamp in reverse, goes down from the surface 10, 20, 30 miles to where the ocean is and infuses it with huge amounts of oxygen. And, of course, oxygen is indicted in the Earth's evolution as the reason we had a sudden spurt of advanced life, ultimately leading to us. So everything that I laid out 30 years ago is now being said by NASA. Isn't that strange?
In most cases, you have been right on. You're just way ahead of your time.
Well, this is so cool, because if there really is complex biological things in the oceans of Europa, there's nothing that it says it couldn't even be intelligent.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, they remember the movie The Abyss, those creatures that
absolutely
could be like that. How come there's no landmass there on Europa?
Well, because there's so much water and such a small moon that the water basically covers the whole place. It would be like a super waterlogged version of the Earth.
I've got to ask you this. We're coming up on the 46th anniversary of the assassination of JFK this Sunday. When you were with me in Albuquerque on KKOB, you kind of hinted that you were working on some new Kennedy material.
I have found, as part of our Enterprise mission research into NASA and all those things, the most amazing story that A, proves there was a conspiracy to kill Kennedy, and B, proves who was most likely behind it, and C, that this individual was highly placed in the U.S. government at the time of the Kennedy assassination. I'm going to present all this at the Secrets Conference on Saturday morning. And Jim Mars is presenting simultaneously on Saturday the same material at the Assassinations Conference in Dallas, Texas.
So you're going to stick your neck out on this one.
Well, the data is there. We have an absolute official paper trail. And when you see it, George, you're going to absolutely, it's going to knock your socks off.
All right.
So for people who want to get tickets, there's a few tickets left.
This is
Saturday
the one
morning
in Tempe, right? Arizona?
It's in Tempe, Arizona, hosted by Chet Snow, Dr. Snow, and his wife, Calista. Stephen Greer is going to be there, David Wilcock, a whole bunch of people. Steve Bassett is going to show up. But my stuff, you know, not wanting to sound too egocentric, is...
Not you.
Is mind-blowing. Well, it's...
Look, you do a good job. I've seen you at conferences. and you mesmerize an audience.
Well, when you have good material, and this is amazing material, this really is a breakthrough, and I can't wait to see the feedback from the other Kennedy assassination researchers in Dallas. If people want to get tickets, for those who want to get tickets, you either log on to enterprisemission.com, there's a link at the top, or it's 928-204-1962. That's 928-204-1962.
Very good. Thanks, Richard. Thanks for the update on Europa. That's fascinating. That there could be 3 million tons of fish-like creatures, theoretically living and breathing in the water on Europa. Oprah Winfrey's production company says that Oprah will announce on Friday that her talk show will end in 2011 after its 25th season on the air. She's the queen of daytime, and she's decided that, you know what, 25 years is long enough. In a moment, Dr. Roger Lear joins us. He will talk about his performing a 16th alien implant removal surgery or some kind of removal surgery, which is coming up in December. Dr. Roger Lear is next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We've got Dr. Roger Lear. He's said to be one of the world's most important leaders in physical evidence research involving the field of ufology. He and his surgical team have performed numerous surgeries on alleged alien abductees. And here he is on Coast to Coast. Roger, how are you?
Fine, George. I was really blown away by Richard's comment about fish on the moon of
Europa.
Europa.
Oh, love it.
I could just see a picture in my mind, two large fish sitting in a boat fishing for humans. And what would they be using for bait? You know, prime rib or something.
Exactly. Like. Roger, I had an opportunity several years ago to witness one of your alien removal surgeries. Fascinating. You've got number 16 coming up, and I don't necessarily say they're alien objects. You don't know until you pull them out, and then you still sometimes don't know, right?
That's correct, George. The data is what we rely on. And of course, the last two, the 14th and 15th cases, we found such monumental data that our scientists with ANS Research have come out in public, one at the National Press Conference that we held in Washington, D.C. at the Press Club, and said that these objects were not only non-terrestrial, but they weren't from this solar system.
Now, in this particular operation, tell me about the patient. Tell me about the object.
Well, basically, in general, it's a gentleman in his 50s. He's from the southern portion of the United States. He's had this object for quite some time. We don't have a definitive experience that he has recall of an abduction, but he has 2 hours of missing time with a combined with a prolonged UFO sighting. And he was in the company of a friend who has the same memory. Bud Hopkins is going to be flying out the day following the surgery, and we hope that he'll do a hypnotic regression with him. And this is just kind of an ideal case because there is no memory. They're just missing time. So we have an opportunity to really find something out. Now, his object on X-ray appears to be similar to the other ones that we removed, and it's in the wrist area, just a little bit above the wrist and the arm.
Is this person, is he scared?
I would say no. He's been looking forward to doing this. We've been trying to set this one up for over a year, and he's really looking forward to getting this done and getting it out and finding out what it is.
You know, whenever we talk to Whitley Strieber, I always think about that implant that's up there by his ear that the doctor was only to get a little piece out. The rest of it's still there. That's got to be kind of strange and frightening at the same time, Roger, to know that you've got something in there, nobody knows what it is, and they can't get it out.
Oh, that's obviously true. I mean, you know, I would not want to be Whitley with this thing in my ear. He says that it still moves. It becomes inflamed at various times. You know, and he's asked me several times, if you remove this object, Can you guarantee my safety or life? Well, obviously the answer is no.
Oh, I remember looking at the one from the woman that you took out of her cheek and her face, because there are two cheeks, I guess. And this thing just kept bouncing around. It was very difficult for the surgeon who was attending with you to pull that thing out. You finally got it. But, you know, when that anesthesia finally wore off the woman, I can only imagine how sore her cheek was.
Well, it really wasn't that sore. You got to remember that we know these things and we try to obviate them in advance because we use a double anesthetic. It's a quick acting mixed with a long acting. So there's no surgical sticker shock. They don't really feel that much. Usually a couple of aspirin or a Tylenol is enough to obviate any post-operative discomfort.
Roger, what's your gut tell you about all these? Not just this case you're working on, but all of them in general.
Well, you know, George, I've been doing this for a long time, and every single time when you look at the scientific approach, you think you're going to find answers. You wind up with about 10 more questions. It's almost like there's a consciousness out there which prevents you from getting all the answers. But, you know, we made tremendous strides since I did the first case. I mean, we had the slightest idea what we were doing. Now, basically, we know what to look for. So we look for similarities between objects. We know what tests to run. We know that the objects metallurgically contain things like carbon nanostructures, nanotubes, nanofibers. We look for orthorhombic crystals. These are crystals that have certain forms and sizes that are not usually found in metals. In other words, just a synthetically created object. So you have to draw certain conclusions that these are being manufactured by some kind of an intelligence, which is certainly not within the realm of our academic science.
What do they really want, Roger? I mean, they could surely find these people, so they can't be just tracking devices. They're monitoring something. They're sending back data.
Oh, absolutely. And we found that, in certain cases, they are emitting radio frequencies. And why would an advanced civilization need to mess around with a radio frequency? So by the use of Occam's razor, if these are emanating data, mm-hmm. it seems like some earthly entities also want to know what that data is. So it would indicate that there's some kind of an agreement, a collusion going on between maybe non-terrestrial entities and some human entities.
What drives you, Roger? You don't stop.
I don't know. I'm getting old, George.
Yeah, you still look the same as you did 7, 8 years ago when I first met you.
Well, thank you. Changed. Yeah, thank you very much.
You probably found the fountain of youth on one of your abductee trips, huh?
No, I just listen to Coast to Coast, and that keeps me going.
And you've got an upcoming event this Saturday, don't you?
Yes, this Saturday in Ventura. A very interesting place, too, George. It's going to be located in Ventura, 2750 East Main Street. It's in a bomb shelter.
Really? One of the old ones?
One of the old ones, way down below a whole shopping center. And it's huge. There's a yoga studio down there. There's a ballet studio. And that's where the conference is going to be. It's called the Zanzilla Center, and it's the Ventura UFO.
You can get info on the alienscalpel.com website?
Yes, all the info is on there.
I understand you're going to be debating the alien intentions. You're on a panel.
Right, I'm on a panel, and we're going to present differences in opinions. And there are differences. I don't think exactly the same as David Jacobs or Bud Hopkins or the late John Mack. We all have our own opinions, so we're going to throw these out to the public.
What I find fascinating, Roger, no matter where I go, no matter where you go, or Richard Hoagland, people are genuinely fascinated and interested in this subject matter, aren't they?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And if you look at the films and the television shows that are being released right now, one movie, of course, on abduction, that The Fourth Kind, which I saw.
Yeah.
You know, there's all kinds of things that are in the works and coming out. And then, you know, if you look at the new programming, V, is, you know, is on the TV, the remake, and all sorts of these things. It's there because of the public interest. These
and
guys are interested in making a buck. So
it's huge interest as well. Thank you. Dr. Roger Lear up next. Open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And if you're having trouble with loan mods or maybe you got the flu shot, check in with me. And welcome back to Coast. Next hour, Linda Moulton Howe joins us. She'll be talking about that Large Hadron Collider at CERN in Switzerland, getting an update from Linda on that. Also, the story about a woman named June that had to do from handling memory metal from one of the Roswell episodes. And then also, we'll talk more about the June story. I won't give her last name. I'll let Linda do that. That has to do with spaceships and then also global climate change tonight, followed by conversations with Linda. All that starting next hour on Coast to Coast AM. When I come back, open lines. They're next. Are you getting ready for Thanksgiving? That's coming up pretty quickly, isn't it? We'll have a live program for you, by the way, Thanksgiving night. And then on the Christmas week, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we will have live programs for you then as well. Let's go to the phones. Jeff, trucking along in California, first-time caller. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey there, George. How's it going?
Okay, not bad.
I got a total different theory on where the moon and everything, all this, how this happened.
Okay.
Mine has to go back when I heard that show about how the planet grows because of all these little particles that come out of the sun and get trapped in our gravity and the Earth's been growing over, you know, billions of years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've noticed when, the eclipses of between the sun and the moon is the exact same size as the sun is because of the distance between the moon and Earth.
Right.
And when it rotates around the other side, away from it, which would be a new moon to us and a full moon to the other side. But anyway, it's over the billions of years, all the particles that come out of the sun kind of, you've seen the snow build up on the back of trailer doors and stuff like that.
Oh, sure,
down the road.
Sure.
Well, I think that same principle is happening with gravity that keeps the moon the same perfect size from its distance. In other words, it's just stuff that's coming out of the sun that gathers up in a gravitational field.
But where do you think, Jeff, the moon came from?
I think it started out very small, and over the billions of years,
just picked up all those materials.
All this material coming out of the sun.
Huh.
I think that's why we have a little bit of DH3 here, you know, stuff that's probably when the moon's between the sun and the Earth has come off of it and gathered on the Earth. But I think a lot of this DH3 is probably coming directly out of the sun.
So you don't subscribe to the theory that the moon was towed into position, huh?
No.
No.
I think it's built up over billions of years because of this backdraft of gravity, basically.
Yeah, and I've always thought the moon was a byproduct of a collision, something that hit planet Earth a long time ago. And I'm not sure all of the moon is part of what the Earth might have been at that time, but I do think it's a combination of particles that that originated during this collision. Let's go to West Los Angeles. Wayne on the wild card line. Hey, Wayne.
Good evening, George. How you doing?
Good.
Good. I have a question, George, and this has been bugging me for many, many years. I've been following the UFO subject for as long as I can remember. And for the sake of argument, let's say, for example, UFOs are real and this government is covering up and they're doing reverse engineering and so on and so on and so on. Then why is it publicly and in front of everyone are we spending, and in my interpretation, wasting billions of dollars on antiquated technology to try and go to Mars and rockets and shuttles? And my point is this: either the people in your community, and you represent them very well, either they got to get off the pot and just start making a bigger voice than just being on Coast to Coast Radio, or the government has to fess up and say, okay, let's get to the point. Before I die, I'd like to see someone get to the point.
Yeah, well, we all want to get to the bottom of it. Just last week, the Vatican made an incredible announcement that they were investigating the possibility of extraterrestrial life. They didn't say anything directly that we've been visited. But
well,
they've got
more cover-ups than our government does. Come on.
Yeah, probably.
I mean,
so.
I'm a Catholic, but come on.
I'm a Catholic, too.
And I'm not knocking religion. It's a religion. I mean, I'm a God-fearing individual, and I'm not really spiritual, but I believe in God. I'm not a believer in religion, whichever one it is.
But to answer your question, why are we going to the moon? Why are we going to Mars? Why are we spending this kind of money when maybe it's right here in our back door? I don't think, as some say, there's this cooperation. You know, if we've reverse engineered anything, as the late Colonel Corso once said, all right, maybe that's possible. But I think, though, it has not been a friendly exchange. I don't believe in the stories that people are working with ETs and laboratories and things like that. I think if we're being visited, they're coming on their own accord, and there's nothing we can do about it. So I think we're trying to catch up.
Well, I'm in agreement with you, George. By the way, I have one more brief little question. Have you read Richard Dolan's latest book?
Yes. Yes.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yes, he's been on the program.
I sent me a copy when it came out, and I've read it about six times.
He's a genius.
He's a remarkable author and researcher and so on, and with people like him around, certainly... the subject will go further. Well, good night, George. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I'll just keep stumbling along.
We'll all be stumbling with you, Wayne. We'll all be there. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Sharon, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. What's in Tulsa today, Sharon?
Well, we've had six more deaths from the H1N1 or N1H1, whatever, the swine flu.
Remember, though, you've probably had about 15 from the normal flu.
Probably so.
That's
but
the
I
thing.
Was
it never gets reported. Go ahead.
Have you heard, is anyone asking them, the ones that die of it, have they had the vaccination?
I don't think there's any data to that. That's a great question.
It really is, because that's what I'm wondering.
And what are they really dying from?
Yes, the vaccination or the, I mean, you know, because they never mention it. And, of course, you know, you would assume if they got it, they didn't have the vaccination, if the vaccination was correct. I mean, you know, a good thing to do.
I assume you have not gotten the vaccination.
I have not. And I will not, no.
How come?
I think it's something more than what they're letting out, you know. I think it's harmful, more harmful than good.
Is it a lack of trust? Is that one of the reasons?
Oh, yes. There is no trust. And plus the way they've, you know, propagated all of this, saying how it's, you know, this pandemic and all this. Something funny about that and the little time it took for them to get the vaccination out.
Well, look what's happening in Europe, the story I just had. In Britain and in France, they're beginning to question what the scientists have been saying. Let's go next to Alaska, west of the Rockies. Paul, whereabouts?
Soldotna.
Soldotna. It used to get cold there.
It still does. It's zero now.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, then that's, you know, the last few years it's been warmer, hasn't it?
Well, I guess it's a matter. I don't know if you looked on the news lately. We're in the minuses up higher than the, you know, like up in the northern area.
But, Paul, there's global warming. How can this be?
Boy, I tell you, there's a lot of Alaskans want to know that exact answer.
Yeah. Yeah. What's going on?
Well, tonight on the news, I didn't get all the information, but I was watching on, I think it was Dateline or Nightline, with Brian Williams, and he's talking about a meteor that flew by here at some 80,000 miles an hour, huge, and lit up cities.
We've got the Leonids. We had them just a few days ago.
No. This one's like huge and was bright and real huge.
Yeah, but it just happened, right?
Yeah, like today or yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, this is part of the meteor shower, but you're right. It is a big one.
Yeah, it was a big one. It was bright. And I was wondering if there was something I missed and you didn't, you know, I was thinking maybe you were going to follow up on it tonight. That's all.
No, we're right in the middle of one of the most spectacular meteor showers. It happens. It's the Leonids. Dr. Sky was on the program, and it's not unusual for you to see a big one like that come by. The big story happened last week when an asteroid zoomed really close to the planet. Really close. Next up, we go to Dennis, truck driving in South Carolina, east of the Rockies. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, how you doing, George? Hey, I got comment about the doctor that you just had on about implants that he's been finding in people's bodies.
Yeah, Dr. Lear.
Okay. Have you ever seen the movie Transformers 2?
I have not. Is that the one with Megan Fox?
Yes, sir.
I haven't seen it.
Okay. There's a part in that movie where a dog-like robot sent Phoebe down a little tube to get the offspark, a piece of the offspark. Anyway, make a long story short, these chemtrails, do you think that they're throwing down bits and pieces from up in the sky and we breathe them in and they come in our bodies and form these little things?
Well, William Thomas, who was a guest on Tuesday night on the program, believes that there is some form of spraying going on, weather manipulation and possibly spraying as well. That's very possible.
Yeah, because I think if anything, you know, we can breathe one thing and it just meets in the body and forms it.
It's possible indeed. Oscar, Bozeman, Montana, first-time caller. Hi, Oscar.
Hey, George, how's it going?
Okay.
Good. I just wanted to first say, love the show. Been listening to it for years. Helped me through some hard times in my life. So
well,
thanks.
That's what we're here for.
Cool. Hey, my question is whether or not you believe that some alien abductions can be explained as DMT in the body and waking dreams. Have
sure.
you heard about that?
Absolutely. There's that possibility. There's no doubt about it. I think that some people who think they have out-of-body projections are also experiencing things like that.
See, that's fantastic. I spent some time out of the country in some places where DMT is legal, and I've gotten to experiment with it, and I had some experiences that were like alien abductions. That's the only way I can explain it. I went to a room where there was insect-like creatures talking to other people and showing us video screens, and it interested me in the subject, and so I've been doing a lot of research on it lately. And I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Any side effects when you did this?
Well, it took me a while to come out of it. It was the smokable DMT form. This was in Amsterdam. And it took me a while to come out of it. The actual effects of it probably only lasted about 10 minutes, maybe. And then it took me about an hour to come out of it. And no long-term effects. Just tried it once.
Well, you're lucky there, Oscar. You know, I'm not a proponent in using these for mind-altering experiments at all, though some people are. I do favor the use of medical marijuana to help people who can't take pharmaceutical-grade pain pills. But in terms of experimenting, I've never been one to experiment with stuff like that or mushrooms or anything that could alter your body. But, and let me tell you why. I'm afraid I'll die of a heart attack taking these things. I really am. Let's go to Fred, Flushing, Michigan. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Fred, what's going on?
Hey, George.
Good.
Well, the H1N1, but first, Tom Cryer, truthattack.org,
yep.
He did follow through on that seven-day city tour in Florida. I tried to reach him a couple weeks ago, and he was in the process of that, and so I'm am very enthusiastically inclined to campaign to organize a Tea Party Square here in Michigan.
Well, Tom Cryer, one of those who fought the IRS and won.
He did indeed, and if I'm not mistaken, George, isn't he a tax attorney?
He is a tax attorney down in Louisiana.
Yeah, so
he represented himself, and he had another attorney help him, and he won.
And, George, he's got I don't have a computer, believe it or not, and I haven't been able to get over to the library since I don't have a car, but 110-page memorandum of law is on his website, and it's free, and I've been phoning everyone I know to access that memorandum of law, because you got to believe that 110 pages, you're going to have a commanding, intimate knowledge of all the pertinent details, right?
One day, we're going to have masses decide that
There is no income tax, and I think they're all going to stop filing.
I hope so.
You know, the Browns, by the way, are still in jail, separated and everything else. Thanks. Rusty in Lubbock, Texas, home of Buddy Holly, right?
Yes.
There he is. Yes. Hey, Rusty.
Well, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to mention an experience I had. I was just walking around my home. I was doing what all guys do. I was thinking of a woman. The creator came to me, and it was an experience. I felt complete kindness. I felt complete understanding. My mind was being read. There was nothing I could think that he didn't already know. You'll have to forgive me. I'm a little nervous, but
what are you nervous about? It's me.
Well, I'm kind of a recluse. He showed me. Well, he asked me a question, and I asked, and I didn't expect an answer. And he showed me 5 pictures, how these machines work, a solid state anti-gravity device. I was on the ground. I was looking at this saucer. And then it translated into the 3rd picture. I was inside this machine looking down on myself. And I knew how they worked, this solid-state anti-gravity device. And then it translated into a 4th picture I couldn't see. And then it translated into a 5th picture, which showed me, well, it showed me the inside of a machine, another one, moving parts.
Did you draw these up? Have you remembered them enough to be able to do schematics?
I've drawn 100 pages. I've built many different machines. I've got one right here.
Does it work, Rusty?
I put power to it, and it does a torque. It starts to spin the whole machine. See, this one involves a spin. I don't want to give too much away, because if I tell you, people will figure these things out. There's balance.
Are you gonna ever make these?
I'm making one right now.
Sell? You gonna sell them?
Well, I couldn't sell it if you got no control, if it just kind of starts to torque and doesn't really, it's a heavy machine. I have to lighten it, but.
What's the main principle, Rusty, behind it? How does this work?
Due to Mach's principle, spinning, inertia. Inertia.
Electromagnetics involved?
Yes. It's not that much power, and it doesn't take that much power. There's balance. If you look in Ezekiel 1, he speaks of a wheel within a wheel.
That's right.
He said it had eyes around the edges. I know what those eyes are. And he says, and I also heard another comment a guy made. He talked about, as he looked up in the air, or he saw a saucer he said it went from cold to hot. And that's pretty amazing. Because it describes them as fire and ice.
Rusty, at what point are you going to let the world know about this?
I've got pictures. I've got this machine right here. If anybody's interested, I could use if anybody's got a Kitsui power supply, AC, it could, 110 volts to adjust the hertz. I can guarantee you'd see amazing results with these machines.
How big are these machines?
You can make them any size. How big does a gyro have to be?
Well, yeah, and how big is the one you're making?
It's about the size of a bar stool.
That's not bad.
It's very small, but it's it's incredible. I think come 2012, I think this is going to be, I think the technology is actually going to be out there.
Anti-gravity. You've got to get us some information on it, Rusty. I'd like to take a look at this. I was at an event once and somebody showed me a perpetual motion machine, pictures of it. He said, please, you can't tell anybody. He pulled out the pictures and there was a machine. There's no doubt about that. But it was made with toilet bowl parts. And so I asked him if it works, and he said, no, he hasn't figured it out yet.